thing, and they want to take the person that's going through it to the limit. Well, I don't think I need any extra fear in my life besides what the enemy tries to put on me. But we see a lot of that. We see the new programs right now that it's psychological warfare, like you were saying, psychological, trying to outthink the competitive person who is against you.
You know, one of the things that amazes me is this matter of things called amusement parks. I know we've got one right down below the station here in Denver, and it's called Elitch's. And Six Flags, I guess now Six Flags over Denver, but Six Flags and Elitch's have gone together here in Denver. But they've got all these mind erasers. They've got these thrillers and chillers and, you know, this Tower of Doom that takes you up and then suddenly drops you to the ground. And you see these kids, their legs are flying out, and you see their hair flying all over. You don't see very many old people on those things.
No, your stomachs are turned inside out and upside down, yeah.
But, you know, what is this deal about amusement parks? And like Bill Cosby said at one time, scare me bad, man, scare me bad. Mm-hmm. And he had a program out called The Chicken Heart, you know, how scared he got listening to old-time radio. Mm-hmm. Well, many times Christians get into buying into this thing and they start telling stories. Well, I can top that story. You know, I saw a rattlesnake bigger than the one you saw. That kind of stuff. And people are just blowing and going, and the devil is using that to twist a person's self-concept to make them think, you know, fear and your name go together. Like your middle name is fear. That's scaredy cat. You know, we used to tease each other kids.
Yes.
You know, if one was scared of the dark, we called them scaredy cats.
We have a lot of listeners, Darren, who they call and they say, you know, I have nightmares or I have bad dreams. If you're one of those that has nightmares or bad dreams, we recommend that you read the Word of God before you go to bed. I believe that's an antidote to bad dreams. And all of us, I believe one time somebody said, when you dream, it's garbage out. It's God getting rid of the garbage in the night so you aren't thinking and worrying about it in the day. And I believe partly that's true. You get rid of all the trash.
Well, wait a minute. I don't believe that at all. I don't believe that at all.
You don't.
I don't. I believe that that's the devil's way of getting us messed up. And I'll tell you, when you're unguarded, you don't mind if I disagree with you on the program, do you?
No, but that doesn't mean that I do have those dreams, and I just trash them away.
Well, there's sin someplace, Barbara. I don't know. We'll find it. Give my wife a bad time here today. But, you know, I believe that if we have to stop watching the news, I don't care if it's the 5 o'clock, the 9 o'clock, the 10 o'clock, the 6 o'clock we have here in Denver, and all these fear-related special programs that come on during the evening, like Unsolved Mysteries, you know, the guy comes on, and everybody starts looking over their shoulder to say, I mean, I wonder what's unsolved in my life. Mm-hmm. And then all these murders, you know, where they're trying to get it by, you know, what's that one CSI that's quite popular? They do that through DNA evidence and
forensics.
That's the word
yes.
I was looking
uh-huh.
for.
Yes.
Well, if we focus on that, in fact, I know a family, and I knew them quite well at the time, but there was a vicious rape murder of one of their granddaughters or a cousin. In fact, it was the people that I knew, this gal that I knew, was a cousin to this girl that was murdered. Well, her parents went off the deep end on murder mysteries after this kid was killed. A young lady was killed. She was a school teacher. Well, I want to say, did the devil win there? Yes, I think he did. And the tragedy was the people that went off the deep end had been ministers. And they got into all the stuff about murders and how you solve a murder and how you find the killer and all that kind of stuff. I tell you, I think the devil won big time in that deal. But getting back to what you said about nightmares.
Okay, dreams and nightmares. When we go to sleep, the average person sleeps 6 to 8 hours a night.
Right,
so that's a lot of time that you're sleeping. You're allowing your mind to go to sleep. You don't have control of it. And I believe, Darren, reading the Word of God right before we go to sleep is a very important thing.
You know, it says in Psalm 119, I look forward to the night watches that you, Lord, may teach me while I sleep.
Yes.
Now, if we are troubled with those dreams, I believe the last thing we do before we go to sleep is to cover ourselves with the blood of Jesus and say, I demand that nothing gets into me except what God might want to teach me. And Satan, this is not your playground. I'm going to lock you out here, and I'm going to cover my subconscious, my spirit, my heart, my soul, every part of me. Fill my house with the power of Jesus' blood. Assign the angels to my bedroom, and Satan, you're locked out of here, and you can't torment me in my sleep when I'm unguarded.
Yes, that's right. Well, going on to Mark 4:40, This is an important scripture, Darren, because Jesus is, and most of these scriptures, Jesus is involved, he's talking, and I believe it's really important that you go through these scriptures. And Jesus said to them, "Why are you so timid? How is it that you have no faith?" And that word timid, it also appears in some translations in 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given us a spirit of timidity. God hates timidity, Darren. And here Jesus is saying timidity cancels out faith. He says, "Why are you so timid? You don't have any faith." And I believe that fear goes right hand in hand with timidity to cancel out the faith that God's trying to build in our spirits so we can be strong Christians. I'll tell you, fear and faith have no place together in the spirit man.
Well, man, or you could take it another way. You could say fear is negative faith.
Mm-hmm.
A positive thought is really perfect faith. I mean, it's not just a thought, but it's a spirit of faith, or you can have a spirit of doubt and unbelief. But I'd like to take, you have in the notes here, and I appreciate your notes so much, Barbara, but in the 40th verse here of Mark chapter 4, it says these words, "Why are you so timid? How is it that you have no faith?" But two verses before that, Jesus rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Hush and be still." Now, I believe he was talking to the symptom, but the root cause here was really fear.
Yes.
I believe the symptom was the storm.
Yes.
And sometimes we need to speak to the symptoms around our life or the situation or the conditions and say, "You're out of here. I am not giving in to you.
Okay.
You can't push me over the edge."
So what's one of your favorite phrases to say about symptoms?
My favorite?
Yes, your favorite, Darren.
Well, and it's in the freedom. It's in our freedom manual, but it's feelings and symptoms are liars.
That's right.
God's word is truth. So we have to get down to the truth. What is the truth here? Well, the truth is that the wind here is kicking up the storm, but the real, that's the symptom, I would say, but the real problem here is the root spirit of fear and timidity. It's taken over the people in the boat, and Jesus says, "Listen, let's speak to the problem, okay? Speak to the symptom here. Speak to the wind," and it says, "Hush, be still, be quiet."
Yes, last night we were watching a sea documentary on a sailing contest where some sailors went from Australia to Tasmania, 600 miles of rough sea. And in the midst of this, their sailing vessel, whose mast was 12 stories high, I can't even fathom that, Darren. They look like small little ships out there in the ocean, but the mast was 12 stories high. They saw a waterspout. It was like 7 miles from where they were, and because they don't have engines on sailboats, they couldn't race away from it. It just kept coming at them and coming at them. The captain ordered all the crew down below and to get everything as safe as they can, because this water spout was becoming a huge, almost like tornado-like thing, coming towards their vessel. And
wasn't it that water spout a half a mile wide?
Yes, and he stayed out on the deck of his ship. He had his arm wrapped around a rope and also around the steering wheel. That thing hit them full force. He was so angry. He said, they asked him several times, "Were you fearful?" He says, "No, I was angry that this thing was keeping us from winning this race and keeping our attention, distracting us from winning this race." He said the minute the thing hit, he could feel himself being sucked up, but because he had his arm around the steering wheel, the thing immediately let him go. And what I want to say here is that because he didn't fear, this water spout, huge storm, immediately let them go, and they looked back, and it was gone. They said there was no trace of this water spout.
Yeah, they said there was blue sky.
That's right, that had entangled their boat and encompassed their boat for a few seconds. And he said, "No, I wasn't fearful, I was angry." And I believe sometimes we need to change that fear into a righteous anger of saying, "How dare you get me off tilt? How dare you distract me from the things of God?"
Well, that takes us over to Romans 8:15, Barbara, and those words are very good, but this is what it says, "For you have not received a spirit of slavery, leading to fear again, but you've received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father." Now, we could personalize that and say, "I've not received a spirit of fear." I've been adopted.
That's right.
I'm a part of the beloved now. I'm righteous. I'm not where I used to be.
And what does that fear do to a lot of people, Darren? It enslaves them. They are enslaved.